Ladies and gentlemen, can I please have your attention? What? I need all of you to stop what you're doing and listen.
Pipes is writing down a lot of stuff. I'm just going to go from the gut.
I'm going to sell you on a guy that I already know you're not buying. All the deep dives.
Caillou, the kid that whined. I'm going to be frank. Sometimes I want a Clifford and Bear in the Big Blue House to go over and just knock him around.
I think they will win. They're back at home.
I'm going to go off here.
Hans, come in here. Let's hook you in the eye.
I literally just create madness. I put a packet of mild sauce.
The one Taco Bell packet was a little...
That was strange.
I don't know. Their secondary grades out is the worst. High scoring. Take the over. He who had injury, he who had.
King Derek the Fifth.
Is it better to have two defensive coordinators or none?
Or none.
They have Tua's brother. It's easier than to pronounce. Yeah.
This song, I really dislike.
Hans. Trevor's on fire right now. You got to be a trendsetter. 14 team, all heavy favorite. How dumb am I for doing that?
Yeah, you're dumb.
Everybody. Oh, is it always nice the day after a victory for Illinois basketball, but even better when it's a victory over Iowa. It is the drive with Say and Piper. I'm Lante. Derek Piper sitting next to me just rolled in from Iowa City.
That's right.
After a big win over those Hawkeyes, 87-83. You predicted a four-point win. I don't think you nailed 87-83.
But a little more high scoring than I thought.
But you were sneaking close, man.
Yeah,
you nailed
that.
It with a four-point win. So Illinois gets it done. Four guys in double figures led by Jacob Grandison and Alfonso Plummer, each with 21 points. Trent Frazier, 18 points on the night. And Kofi Coburn, 17 points and a career-high 18 rebounds. It's incredible. And basically getting the yeoman work of that in the second half. So we will hear from Brad Underwood, some of his post game. We'll hear that as we roll along today. Also, Ayo Dosunmu made a start last night for the Chicago Bulls. And not only did he start, he had 11 points, 8 assists, 6 rebounds, and Derek played 42 minutes. I read a quote on Twitter today from Billy Donovan saying, look, he's just a special kid. And he's not afraid to understand what he's doing wrong. And I thought that was a really cool thing from Billy Donovan. He goes, some players don't want to hear. And Ayo sits there and says, tell me, how am I going to get better? So I guess Billy Donovan went up to an hour before the game and said, you're going to be starting. And not only that, you're going to be playing a lot. And he said it didn't faze him one bit, which you know Ayo well enough to understand that that's probably not going to faze Ayo. And he probably sat there thinking, it's about time you're starting me.
Yes, the guy, right? It's a guy that is not afraid of the opportunity, and he's played in a lot of big stages and trust his work, trust the development that he's continued to have. And look, this is a guy that works on his game as hard as anyone and recognizes the fact of he thinks he was disrespected the NBA draft. I think he's making it clear that he certainly was.
I love it.
Doing the things that he has done so far as a second round pick is pretty incredible for a team that is really good. So
and his hometown.
His hometown. It's just awesome. It's all just the perfect situation for him. So he's putting himself into a very good situation to, I know it's down the road, but line up for that second contract.
Yeah.
And if there were any questions about maybe his staying power in the NBA, he's showing that he's going to do whatever it takes to stick. And he shot the three well this year.
Mm.
And he even looks, Joey Wagner and I were talking about this yesterday. He looks like he's gotten even more athletic.
I agree.
Like, he's more explosive off the floor.
Totally agree.
So, defense, making an impact offensively. It's great to see for, you know, one of the better guards to ever play at Illinois.
Remind me, did the Bulls have a number one pick?
They didn't.
Okay. Because I'm thinking to myself, the only thing better than what happened is if he would have signed with the Bulls in the first round, because the money's a heck of a lot better. But, listen, it is what it is. So, we'll hear from Iowa.
He actually didn't work out with the Bulls during the draft process.
Wow.
And I think the thought process behind that was
he's not
they didn't
last.
Think he was going to get to them at that point in the draft. So
Wow.
Pretty cool for Iowa.
And it's cool that it's working out for Chicago as well. I mean, the Bulls, you know, I don't know how much of a chance they took or how much they thought, all right, this is a kid that's going to bring in people, et cetera. But number one, you got to win. So the idea that now not only did they make it happen to where you've got all these Illinois fans that are big Bulls fans now, if they weren't already,
yep.
And then, hey, by the way, it's working out. Like, he's really being a stud for us on a team that's like 18-7 and is really the surprise team in the NBA, which is awesome. So we'll talk more about that with Io at 5:30. I have basketball duty tonight in Oakwood, so I'm sneaking out of here. But Trevor Valise is going to join us. He will join you, excuse me, at 5:30, kind of give his thoughts on this Illinois victory over Iowa. So let's start with this, Derek. I'll ask you. You were there. I was able to watch it, obviously, with a lot of Illini fans, of course, on TV. You were at Carver Hawkeye Arena. What was that like? And getting that victory, how big is that victory? I always say update stats, right?
Yeah.
You just updated a stat for DeMonte and Trent. You updated the stat in the sense that they hadn't won in Iowa City since 2017. You've now defeated the Hawkeyes four straight times. And for the first time ever, although it only started about 3 years ago, with this new Big Ten scheduling where they play two Big Ten games in December and then the rest starting in January, for the first time ever, you're 2-0 in the Big Ten. And I know you and I have discussed that and the importance of doing that. I feel like this team, even without Andre Curbelo, which we can talk about here in a little bit as well, I feel like this team has really, I mean, the difference between this and the Cincinnati-Kansas yes. State Hall of Fame Classic or whatever that was called, the difference with this team compared to that to now, you saw them both times, is incredible to me.
Yeah, it's really impressive. They have taken a lot of strides, and certainly they're starting to feel that chemistry and guys are stepping up. And to be able to play in a game at Iowa where we talked about not being on the wrong side of some big runs, and it was a 21-2
oh boy.
For Iowa after Illinois came out and threw the first couple of punches with hitting threes and everything. You're like, oh, this is not going well.
No.
It's getting loud in there. Credit to Iowa for doing a really good job of neutralizing Kofi in the first half and making sure that they were going to double him every single time. And while Illinois was knocking down some threes, it really, for a good stretch there, was a three ball or nothing for yeah. Illinois' offense.
Yeah.
To be able to weather that storm, I thought the rally late in the first half was huge, where Grandison steps up and hits two big threes, and Trent huge. Starts to get some steals. And then, I mean, you can't say enough about Alfonso Plummer, who's now gone five straight games with 20 points.
Unreal.
Five straight games. That is just, man, for a transfer that, you know, you have CBS Sports ranked, I think their top 50 transfers available, you know, this past offseason and where they were going, and you wouldn't have seen Alfonso Plummer's name anywhere on there. Find me a guy that's making that kind of an impact as a transfer right now elsewhere in college basketball. That's been really, really impressive. And then you get Kofi rolling in the second yeah. half. I think that while the numbers at the very end of the game, we'll say that Keegan Murray ended up having a nice stat
mm-hmm.
line.
Mm-hmm.
I told you if you held him under 20,
yeah, you did.
It made him have to, you know, put up a lot of shots to get to whatever number he ultimately was going to get to. He did a pretty good job. I thought DeMonte did a great job on
hey,
him.
Man.
Made things really difficult. Coleman Hawkins, when he was on him,
yep.
Wasn't a liability by any means. So you weathered that storm, and while it wasn't all that pretty, and while you let them back in it, and your execution or lack thereof against the press was pretty awful to watch at times, to get a win in a place where Iowa had won 17 of their last 20 Big Ten home games.
Wow.
And now you look back and just this run of road kills that Brad Underwood and this program has had. They've won 9 of their last 10 Big Ten road games. Four straight, they beat a ranked Wisconsin team without Io. They smashed the number two Michigan without Io.
Yes.
They beat a top 10 Ohio State team in the regular season finale last year. Then you go into Iowa where you hadn't won with Brad, with DeMonte and Trent, and a program that's had a lot of success there on their home floor, and you beat them too. So a 2-0 start is huge, and especially to do that without Curbelo and have some time for hopefully for him to get right mm-hmm. when you resume Big Ten play. To be right there in the thick of it, as we thought at the very outset of the season, says a lot about where this team, to your original point, how far they've come here in the last couple of weeks.
Very impressive. I want to hear real quick from Brad Underwood right after the game, kind of his initial comments. And I want to thank Channel 3 Sports, WCIA 3 Sports, for this. But this is Brad Underwood talking about that victory.
We all know road wins in this league are extremely challenging, very, very difficult, very hard to get. But it was not pretty. I'm ecstatic because I think we did a couple of the things that you have to do to win on the road, and that's rebound and execute late, and that includes free throw shooting. Obviously, our turnovers, the press bothered us, I got to do a better job with that. I'm really happy we withstood. I think it was a 17-0 run. We just got out of character, and we didn't do a very good job the first half getting the ball to Kofi. They deserve a lot of that credit, but made a few adjustments the second half. Our spacing was much better, and our emphasis of getting the ball to him. We can't have halves where he has one field goal attempt. But Plummer was great again. Jacob Grandison's been elite. Trent Frazier, we can never take out of a game. And then I thought Coleman Hawkins was outstanding in his stand up little foul trouble. But I thought Early did a great job on Murray.
Can you tell Lante to quit coughing in the background? Actually, that wasn't me. I wasn't there. So somebody's out there having the Tay cough fit right now. But that is Brad Underwood. His initial thoughts on the 87-83 win. Illinois now 7-2 overall. Same record as Iowa. The difference is Illinois is 2-0 in the Big Ten. Iowa is 0-2. Nobody is, babying Iowa right now. And the fact that you had to start at Purdue and then have an Illinois team come to your town. So it's not like you're starting with Penn State and Northwestern here. So certainly Iowa can kind of fight their way back out of that as they've played two of the best teams to start off. But Illinois 2-0. Brad Underwood mentioned it there, Derek, the idea that we can't have Kofi take one shot in a half. I mean, that's almost unbelievable to think that your big man, your All-American, a guy that came in averaging 24 points a game, 23-24, third leading scorer or right in there in the country, has one shot in the first half. Now, he finishes 6-for-12, and as we mentioned before, 17 points and then the 18 rebounds. What was the difference for this team, and what was the difference in terms of getting Kofi the ball and getting him involved in half number two?
Yeah, I think it was just continuing to be persistent with it. And it wasn't necessarily a fact of not entering the ball into the post
in
the first half. Right. I thought he had plenty of touches. They just made him give it up. Now, one thing that Kofi talked about after the game, and you certainly saw it play out on the floor, is just kind of him saying, okay, I know that there's going to be a lot of traffic around me, but I'm just going to use my strength and put some shots up on the rim and be determined to make my moves, because they couldn't guard him one-on-one. And I can't say their center's name all that well. It's Rabuka or
Rabraka.
Rabraka.
I think is how you say it.
Not the U. From the transfer from North Dakota, just had no business being on the floor against Kofi. And
right now he's going, why did I transfer to the Big Ten?
Yeah, after having to face Zach Edey and Travion Williams and then say you got Kofi next, that's
I don't
a
know who he faces
go.
In game three, but I guarantee you it's not as hard as it has the first two games.
Right.
Unless it's EJ Liddell or something.
Yeah. So Kofi just being determined to make, obviously make his impact felt, got a nice little run there. And they did some different things, like they put him in some pick and rolls, and that allowed the defense to move a little bit on the interior and allow him to get some momentum going towards the basket. And I know Brad mentioned also maybe some post-up ISOs. So they just kept going to him. And in the second half, it was just more within the flow of getting it to him inside, or if they were going to crash, they obviously were able to kick it out from three. So credit to Kofi for he was noticeably battling through some frustrations there early in the second half. Finally got going, and to look at that stat line of 17-18 is just
incredible.
It's wild.
It's funny you brought that up, and I mentioned we were going to listen to Brad at the bottom of the hour. We'll have a couple of sound bites from him, but you mentioned that about Kofi, and just the difference Brad talked about after the game, just the difference in Kofi from and how he's learned. And he said it's really, in the end, it's all about mental toughness, and that's what even helped last night with Kofi after, a first half that is not ideal, but then he still comes out and has huge numbers. Here's Brad chatting about the big man, the All-American.
At halftime, he would have, as a freshman, he would have been frustrated, ticked off, upset that he wasn't getting touches. And it would have affected every other part of his game. Now, at halftime, he's saying, hey, I'm open. You can give me the ball. but don't force it. You know, you guys are all making shots, making plays, and there's a tremendous maturity about that. And he's understanding where double teams are coming from better, and how to play out of it. He's a willing passer, when maybe as a freshman he wasn't. But again, he's grown in a lot of ways, most of them mental.
That is Brad Underwood talking about the big man, Kofi Coburn. And certainly, you know, you think back, and we've talked about this before, Kofi, his freshman year, how much he improved just his freshman year, just from the start of the freshman year to the end of the season, from like October to March, was incredible. And now to see the growth that he has, and you even going into this year wonder, okay, how can he get that much better? I know I used the kind of the comp to when, as a golfer, if you're shooting 107 and play all summer and all of a sudden you're shooting 85, well, that's a big jump. But to get from 85 to 80 is a tremendous jump and a lot harder than the previous, because now all of a sudden it's the fine tuning. And that's something we're seeing out of Kofi. We're seeing it with his passes. We're seeing it, obviously, with his domination on the boards. He's always had that since he stepped into an Illini uniform. But, you know, the patience for him and his field goal percentage, which was up around 70%. Now, he did shoot 6 out of 12 today. That'll bring that down a little bit. But basically, when the ball's in his hands and he's ready to score, he's scoring the basketball this season, and that's huge for Illinois.
Yeah, absolutely. The touch around the basket, and we saw that really come along for him last year from the start of Big Ten play. And after that, I think he shot, you know, 63% from the field during Big Ten play last year. And obviously we know he's got the drop step move. Yeah. He's got the right hook. And he's just very efficient when he has the ball in the post. A big difference, too, to go from 18 a game now up to 23 is he's gone from shooting about 51% from the foul line to 70-plus percent. He goes 5 for 6 last night.
Wow.
So that's a big difference when you know that he's going to have that much contact on him. To have that ability to step up to the line and make a lot more of them, that's how you get from sitting there wondering, like, man, how in the world you do better than 18 and 10? Well, now it's 23 and 11 and a half or 12. I'm not going to give you decimal points.
Now you're one putting instead of two putting.
That's kind of where you're seeing the difference. So, man, I sat there afterwards, and you see him doing the TV interview. He's
such a nice guy.
Oh, the smile and the personality that he's got. And then just to see the Illini fans, who showed up pretty well last night at Carver Hawkeye, flock down to the court. And it's cool to see their reactions. And there was some conversation around me, like a dad was telling the kid, like, that is one of the best players to ever play at Illinois. And like, you won't fully maybe appreciate his dominance until he's not at Illinois anymore. Oh, but
it terrifies me to think about him not here next year,
right?
If he's not.
Right, and we can talk about
terrifies me
the big man play behind him that does still need to get better, but it's incredible how big of an impact he makes and just the change that, you know, Illinois has gone through because he's been out there on the court.
Yeah, big time. And you know, you talk about behind him, behind everybody. I mean, this is kind of unique. Last night, basically 6 guys played the majority of the minutes. Coleman Hawkins played 24. But if you look at it, Kofi 30, Plummer 33, DeMonte 30, Trent 37, Grandison 30. Then if you look at the bench, here's what you got. 9 from BBV, who's kind of taken over the role of Omar Payne, I believe. 1 minute out of Omar Payne and 2 fouls, by the way, in that 1 minute. And then 6 minutes out of Luke Goody. Why do you think – I don't think Brad Underwood goes into a game saying, nope, we're gonna condense the bench to just 6. You know, obviously Hutch isn't there. You've got, you know, Curbelo's not there, so that makes a difference here. But, you know, even against Notre Dame, and it seemed against Rutgers, of course, you were blowing them out, so a lot of guys are going to play heavy minutes. But, you know, I don't think Brad went into this game saying, I want these 6 guys to have the yeoman minutes, but that's what happened. Is there a correlation, you think, in your mind as to why it happened, or is it just that, hey, these 6 guys were getting it done against Iowa, so why change?
Yeah, it was the guys that you trust and the guys that were showing that they can handle the pressure and be able to produce. And Omar still has not found himself. When he took what it looked to be a very positive step against Rutgers and had those rebounds and was blocking some shots, and then he gets an offensive foul and then has another foul, and it's like, man, he looks pretty rough. And while Boss Man gives the effort on the glass and he fights hard, offensively, it is not pretty at all.
No.
He cannot score around the basket. He threw one out of bounds. And so between those two guys playing behind Kofi, he didn't really need anybody else in there all that much playing the five beyond what you got. You know, between Omar and Bossman, you get about 9-10 minutes out of those guys. Luke Goody finally looked a little bit, you know, like a freshman. Or I think he was a little tentative and, you know, defensively maybe wasn't all that great. Ultimately, and then like you said, Curbelo is the obvious one.
Yeah.
Hutch with having the flu and then the tailbone hasn't practiced a whole lot. And right now hasn't been put in a situation where he can get consistency of building up, you know, game after game after game, and only got limited minutes late there against Rutgers. So
I'm to the point now where I'm not even going to count on him. And I don't mean that bad to Austin.
Fair.
I mean, I hope the young man ends up playing some valuable minutes this year. I hope at the end of the year you look back and say, how big was it when Hutch finally got healthy and really helped this team? I'm just to the point now where in my mind I'm kind of pushing him out of even the rotation to where I'm not going into games in the future thinking, all right, if Hutch does this. And I know, and again, it's not personal. I'm not mad at the young man. It's unfortunate, but I'm just to the point now where it's like I'm going to think about these other guys that are able to contribute. And when Hutch comes back, if he comes back and he's healthy and can do some things that we've heard about, then that would just be an added bonus to this thing. But until then, I just don't think I'm going to even really think about him in the lineup.
No, I think that's completely fair, and it does show that while there's still a lot of season, and of course you're hoping that you get, again, Curbelo back sooner rather than later. You know what he can ultimately bring to the table. This can be, in terms of some of these guys off the bench and not knowing what to really expect or just not having a whole lot of trust in a guy like Omar Payne or obviously Hutch, Melendez, you wouldn't want to put him out there.
Mm-mm.
The depth really shortens up here, and you leaned really heavily on some older guys, obviously Kofi, Trent, Alfonso, DeMonte. Great balance between, you know, your four double-figure scorers when Grandison and Plummer both give you 21, Trent 18, Kofi 17.
So men.
That's good to see. Yeah, you're old men. You got Plummer like 24, Grandison 23, exactly. 24. Obviously, Trent's been around. I had one of the radio guys behind me say, you know, Trent Frazier, who's been here forever. Like, yeah.
I had people tweeting at me last night about Jordan Bohannon and how long he's been there. I'm like, do you not think Iowa fans are sitting there going, how long is Trent Frazier going to play basketball at Illinois and DeMonte Williams? I mean, it's incredible. And for those two to get that win there, that was big for Illinois. All right, a lot to talk about today. I know Craig said going from shooting a 107 to 85 in a summer is hard. All right, I agree with that, but I know it's when you do that for two or three years and get it down to 85, then it takes you a long time from that to like 78, let's say, in that regard. But he did say he had to quit counting his tee shots. So I guess if you did that, that would help.
You might be able to shave that score down.
I'm telling you, if you're an average golfer and you're consumed with getting better and you're ticked off because you can't ever get better, probably a big reason for that is that you're in a horrible position with your second shot. Let me tell you, the driver is a wonderful thing. They make them bigger than you've ever seen now. You get it in your hands, and about one out of every 10, you absolutely slay down the middle of the fairway. But let me tell you what you should do. Take your 3-wood or take every wood that you have. Maybe take like a little hybrid and keep that in there. And instead of trying to get 250, 270 down the fairway, hit the ball 200, hit it 180, and be in the fairway for your second shot, and you watch how much your score goes up. Once you learn how to do that, but it's so hard. There was a summer where I literally kept my driver and my 3-wood in my trunk and said, nope, I'm not going to do it because I'm tired of being behind trees. I'm tired of being in the rough. I'm tired of being in the sand. I'm just going to hit this ball right down the middle. It's my old snake eyes, my 5-wood. It goes straight every time. Don't know why. Must be the perfect height and everything for me. And, man, my score started getting better. But yet, in your mind, you're like, oh, I'm losing yardage here. I can't do that. I'm not going to birdie enough. Well, guess what? I don't birdie anyway. My goal is to just par. If I can par or even just a bogey, I'm in good shape. Why am I talking about golf when we need to talk about Illinois and Iowa? That's horrible of me. All right, when we come back,
everyone could use a lower score, so we appreciate the
listen
knowledge.
Listen to me, I'm Mike Small here, telling everybody how to do it. All right, road wins are not easy in the Big Ten. You asked Brad Underwood about that after the game. We'll hear from him about that. Also, Andre Curbelo. We've talked a little bit about him. He didn't play again, and someone asked him after the game about Curbelo, and just not necessarily his health and everything, but just about him being there and him being a teammate. Brad Underwood had some good stuff to say about him. I want to know from you, Illini fans, you know, back when Illinois lost to Marquette, then lost to Cincinnati, and then kind of got by Kansas State, a lot of us in our mind were thinking, can this team be an elite team in the country? I'm not saying victories over Notre Dame, Rutgers, and Iowa automatically get you back into the top 10 in elite talk, but certainly you've got to feel a lot better right now about your basketball team than you did just a couple of weeks ago. So from you, how are you feeling now about this team? And without getting anything from Andre Curbelo, and when that happens and when he can come back, hopefully soon, then what will it do to this team? Can it elevate it even to the next level of maybe a top 10 team? You can weigh in at 359-2255. That's 217-359-2255. The U of I Illini Link text line. No calls today on the Nick Van Dyke Appliance World phone line because it's just you and I, and it's hard for us to do that. I hope everybody understands that. But we will talk some more about this a little later in the program. We'll hear from Io DeSumo, who had a great game last night. First official start. I don't know why I say official. First start in the NBA, and he played 42 minutes and showed out in a big win over Denver. And the reigning MVP, right?
Yeah, Nikola Jokic.
Yeah, Jokic. So I was going to say Jokovic, but is that another guy or is that like some hockey dude?
Sounds like a hockey
dude. Okay, that's probably a hockey dude I'm thinking about. So again, weigh in at 359-2255. Maybe that's it.
Way back in the day.
Maybe that's it. 359-2255. If you want to find us on Twitter, you can do that. Just search at the drive 93.5. I am at Lon Tay, ESPN. See you.
I'm at dpiper247. Our podcasts are on all platforms, iTunes, Apple Podcasts, and Spotify. You can also go to tayandpiper.podbean.com. Stream us live at stevyj.com, stevyjay.com. You can watch us live on YouTube, Twitch, Facebook, or Twitter. Just search Tay and Piper or The Drive 93.5.
Bill has me playing 5,600-yard golf courses. Hey, listen, that's right up my alley, man. That's where you can just hit like a 5-iron. Off the tee, and you're in great shape going into the green on your second shot with that trusted 7 or 8. Oh, doesn't just golf sound good right now?
It does sound good.
Because it's cold. It's stinking cold, and I'm ready already for sun and some heat and some golf, even though I haven't really golfed. Can you and I golf next year?
We should.
Let's get out and golf a couple of times. Let's make ourselves, and we'll even golf with Hans. Now, he'll beat us, but let's go out with Hans. He's begging us to do that.
He'll teach us a thing or two.
Yeah, because he's going to be.
I could use the tips.
Well, listen, Hans. Same here. He's going to be too cool soon for us.
I know.
So we've got to take advantage of it now. All right, let's hear from Brad Underwood when we come back. Some postgame from last night and more on Illinois. I want to ask Derek Piper about the shooting and how much better that's gotten. Is that sustainable? We'll talk about it next. It is The Drive.
I'm Ben Quattrone, owner-operator at Sarah Champagne. I enjoy a good game like anyone else, but not when I'm buying a car. At Sarah Champagne, located in Savoy, we've got multiple franchises, and we're transparent, no haggle, no BS, no hassle, and our price is generally lower than anywhere else you'll find. We've always got 30 cars under $10,000. We have luxury models, too. We do business a little differently at Sarah Champagne. Most of our customers really appreciate it. Visit sarahchampagne.com, sarahchampagne.com, and look at 500 cars.
Welcome to the holiday edition of the Trucker Lives Matter radio show, brought to you by Gail Frerichs Trucking. Today, we're asking the kids of drivers to tell us what they want for Christmas. Ralphie's up first.
I want an official Red Ryder carbine action 200-shot range model air rifle. But my dad says with what his company pays, I'll be lucky to get a pair of socks.
Oh, Ralphie, you'll put an eye out. But if your dad worked at GFT, he could afford that air rifle, new socks, and a bunch of other stuff. Tell him to call 765-793-7131. Lou Ann is up next.
Last year, my daddy didn't make it home for Christmas, and he's gone for a month at a time. So I just want him home.
Lou Ann, all of TFT's drivers a home for Christmas to spend time with their loved ones. And they get paid for it. That's all the time we have for today on TLN. All you CDL drivers, call GFT at 765-793-7131 and tell them Dixie sent you.
Norm Miller here, chairman of Interstate Batteries. You know, without batteries, life would be pretty lifeless. That's why Interstate All Battery Centers carry them in every size, shape, and style so you can drive, drill, call, film, or do whatever it is you want to do. Stop in today. They've got the power to keep you going. Interstate All Battery Center. Outrageously dependable.
Interstate All Battery Center. You'll find them outrageously dependable just over Interstate 74 at 2504 North Mattis Avenue in Champaign, with batteries for most every application in stock.
Hey, this is Ben from the Humble Hog in Paxton. Bump your flavors up a notch with our barbecue sauces, rub, and hot pickles. Now you can bring our restaurant flavors home or even send them as gifts. We ship nationwide. Pop by for some of the best brisket around, the juiciest smoked turkey you've ever had. Enjoy some ice cold local beers and check out our famous Paxton Punch made with real Tennessee moonshine. Order online at humblehogbbq.com or pick them up at our restaurant in Paxton.
See the showroom top designer shop. Flooring Surface is your first stop. Amazing selection, price, and style on hardwoods, laminates, carpet, and tile. Low prices on high fashion. Step up the flooring that gets a wow reaction. See the showroom top designer shop. Flooring Surface is your first stop. Flooring Surface is your first stop.
Flooring Surfaces now offers beautiful window fashions. Our interior design team will custom fit shade, shutters, and blinds to any size opening. Visit the showroom to see the latest fashions from Graber and Hunter Douglas, or request an in-home consultation. Whether it's floors or windows, Flooring Surfaces has you covered. See us today at 401 Mercury Drive in Champaign.
See the showroom top designer shop. Flooring Surfaces, your first stop. Flooring Surfaces. First stop.
Welcome to the holiday edition of the Trucker Lives Matter radio show, brought to you by Gail Frerichs Trucking. Today, we're asking the kids of drivers to tell us what they want for Christmas. Ralphie's up first.
I want an official Red Ryder carbine action 200-shot range model air rifle. But my dad says with what his company pays, I'll be lucky to get a pair of socks.
Oh, Ralphie, you'll put an eye out. But if your dad worked at GFT, he could afford that air rifle, new socks, and a bunch of other stuff. Tell him to call 765-793-7131. Luann is up next.
Last year, my daddy didn't make it home for Christmas, and he's gone for a month at a time. So I just want him home.
Luann, all of TFT's drivers are home for Christmas to spend time with their loved ones, and they get paid for it. That's all the time we have for today on TLN. All you CDL drivers, call GFT at 765-793-7131 and tell them Dixie sent you.
Hi, this is Gina from ABC Heating and Air Conditioning. If you want a locally owned family business to help you always be comfortable, who have trained, talented, licensed, and experienced technicians, then call me to schedule an appointment. We'll check your furnace to make sure it'll keep you warm this winter. And just like our name, ABC, you will always be comfortable.
Call Gina today at 217-352-5400 or visit them online at abcheatingandac.com. That's abcheatingandac.com.
Hey Illini fans, it's Mike Gold Jr. Catch Lante and Derek Piper weekdays from 4 to 6 right here on ESPN Radio 93.5.
All right, it is The Drive, ESPN Radio 93.5. Lante, Derek Piper. You know, Pipes, you just don't go into Iowa City and win. You don't do that very often.
Nope.
Illinois gets it done, 87-83, 52 rebounds. 52 rebounds. Now, that is a credit a lot to your defense that was able to hold Iowa into not shooting the ball very well, and that is an Iowa team that didn't make as many shots. I mean, we talked about Joe Toussaint yesterday and how his shooting is much improved. Well, he was 1 of 7. Keegan Murray, 7 of 15. Patrick McCaffrey, 5 of 11. And on down, I mean, it's
Bohannon.
Oh, yeah. Well, yeah. 2 of 5. He only played 17 minutes.
Yeah, he didn't play a whole lot.
What happened there?
It's a good question. And one of those baskets was a lay-in
with
2 seconds to go, completely neutralized him when he was on the floor.
Watching that game, it's almost as though I forgot he was even playing for Iowa.
Yeah.
And then late in the game, he comes in, and I'm like, oh, what? Where's Bohannon been? That was weird.
Pretty interesting seeing both Bohannon and Connor McCaffrey barely out there. Two guys, obviously, that were playing like 25-plus minutes per game last year.
It's weird, but Illinois gets it done, and we'll take it. What is the importance, you think, of getting that victory at Iowa and getting to 2-0 in the Big Ten?
It really sets you up without Curbelo to not be chasing Purdue, to not be chasing whatever it is at the top of the league, which is going to be Purdue, and to not go into January and taking advantage of what's a decently favorable stretch to start off your Big Ten play. When you have Rutgers at home, you have an Iowa team that preseason, we talked about it yesterday, we wouldn't have thought to be a upper half team in the Big Ten. It should be a game that you win, and you ultimately do. And then you're going to return to Big Ten play, and you're going to play Minnesota on the road. You got Maryland at home and then at Nebraska. You have every reason to be 5-0
Sweet.
When you have Michigan and then Purdue coming to town at your place.
Let's go.
So it's controlling
Michigan, we might beat by 20.
Hey. Hey. It's controlling your own destiny in that sense. And look, road wins set you up to have a chance to win the Big Ten. And we saw it last year. There's a reason why you had more Big Ten wins than anybody in the league because you won on the road.
Yeah.
And it's amazing that now they've won 9 of their last 10 Big Ten road games, and that's the third best stretch on the road in league play in the last 70 years. I was looking it up today.
Is it really?
You had Harry Combs in 1950 through 52.
Pretty solid coach.
They won 12 out of 13, and then might remember a season or two, 2004 through 2005.
I do remember that, kind of.
I think they won 13 out of 14
of
Big Ten road games. So.
Wow. That is something when you put it like that, that is pretty impressive. After the game, Derek Piper, you asked Brad Underwood about just getting wins on the road. I got to hit the button.
Yeah, that's our culture, and our guys are emphasizing that. Our young guys are picking that up. They know there's nobody here that's for them. You know, even though we did have a lot of Illinois orange in the stands tonight, but you know, road wins are hard, and that's what makes this league the best league in the country. Is every night's a sellout in a packed house, and to go do that, you know, you got to believe you can do it, and you know, our guys are believing.
Yes, they are, and of course they get it done 87-83. I want to ask you about Jacob Grandison. 6 of 14 from the field. I would have told you that he shot a lot better than 6 of 14 and 4 of 9 from the three-point line. Of course, I'll take a 4 of 9 every night from somebody on this team. But Grandison ends up with 21 points, 3 rebounds, 2 assists. There is a calmness about him, and it's funny because I can't remember who asked the question about that. Was it, it doesn't matter. Someone asked the question about Jacob Grandison and about how calm he is.
Yeah.
And it is so funny because it was Marley. It was Marley from Channel 3, Marley Weird. And during the game, her and I must have been having the same wavelength because during the game, I made a comment out loud. I'm like, I wish every basketball player played with as calm of nature as Jacob Grandison. But then I thought to myself, no, I don't want that. I want some guys like Trent Frazier, Chester Frazier back in the day. I want some guys to be like almost going crazy out there, hustling everywhere, right? You want that. But Jacob Grandison, for a guy that does all the little things you don't notice, that big offensive rebound to keep a series going, the one little assist on a nice little hockey pass across the court that gets you, you know, a big three-pointer in clutch time, the big free throw down the stretch, and a guy that is relied on to hit shots from the outside, and he just continues to do that. I know last year there was that video where he made like, what, 40 straight shots from the baseline, and last night he just kind of sat up, or just sat right on that baseline and just with his hands out like a little baby bird saying, feed me, and that's what they were doing, and he makes every one of them. So obviously didn't make everyone 4 for 9. But 21 points out of Jacob Grandison. If you went out on the street and started talking to people about how important each guy is to this Illinois team, he'd be about the 6-1 mentioned.
Yeah.
But, man, is he important. And I bet if Brad Underwood came in the studio right now and sat across from you and I, and we asked him that question, he would be like, you guys have no idea how valuable that kid is to our team.
Pretty amazing for a guy that a year ago, you look back, early December, was barely playing.
Oh, that's right.
And you were wondering, does this guy have what it takes to play in the Big Ten? We're not necessarily seeing it early on.
I mean, we're kind of thinking the same about Hutch right now.
That's true.
For a different reason. I mean, he's injured. But can you imagine if Hutch had the same kind of
impact? Yeah.
But back to Grandison.
That would take a lot because what Grandison's done here has been extremely valuable. And it's not a coincidence that once he got inserted in the starting lineup last year, he went on that big run. And as you were mentioning in terms of just a guy that maybe you don't always notice, you don't talk about, but he's just rock solid. You can trust him in terms of just being able to make shots and make the effort plays and someone that's not going to get too high and low. And that's a nice blend. And overall, you're starting to see that of just certain pieces coming together. And while you have the star in Kofi and you have the Trent Frazier, the guy that everyone knows has been around forever, right, just a solid role player in Grandison who – let's be honest, like the way that he's shooting the ball right now, he shot 40% from three last year. Mm. He's now like 48, 49% from three this year. It's a guy that could play professionally. That's a guy that could go overseas and make some money and have a career. And how big was that little teardrop, you know, about 10 feet out,
beautiful,
late off an inbounds pass, and that was a clutch shot. And you can't say enough about what he's been able to do. And when you're looking for some extra contributions, guys having to fill in for not having an Andre Curbelo out there or Hutcherson not being able to crack the rotation, that's certainly very, very noticeable what Grandison's doing.
Probably the second most patient guy is Demonte Williams. And he's the one that found Jacob Grandison on that little pass. I regret the fact that we're 46 minutes into the show and I haven't mentioned Alphonso Plummer's huge three-pointer late in that game. Alphonso Plummer, of course, as we mentioned, 21 points, 4 of 8 from the three-point line. Let's talk a little bit about those shots. Number one, the little baby, like you said, from Grandison, the little 6-to-8-footer. Those are hard shots. And you know why? Because we don't shoot them anymore. Nobody practices those shots. The next time, in fact, most of you, if you're going to a high school game tonight, watch in warm-ups before the game how many people take 8-to-10-foot shots. Nobody. Maybe one kid. The rest of them are running out 22 feet from the bucket, shooting, throwing up, you know, threes like they're going out of style.
Yep.
And then they get in the game, and how many threes did they take in high school? One or two. Maybe one kid on your team takes six. But the point is, that little mid-range jumper is so important, and Grandison hit it last night, which was a big shot. Now, the one guy that did hit the three, and we love the fact that Frazier and Plummer and Grandison are hitting threes and knocking them down at a high level, was Plummer on that. I mean, he got it, took a dribble to his left, pulled up and hit the shot. You said at the start of the show, in terms of the impact that he has had coming here from Utah, do we realize how important he's been? Four straight games, 20-plus points. He had 21 last night. He has been large for this Illinois team.
It's amazing that he's been able to show up and how far he's come since he threw one off the side of the backboard at Marquette and was really struggling with this shot. And it's actually five straight.
Oh, is it five?
With at least 20 points. So a heck of a run for him, a guy that is currently on pace. And I think we talked about this, or maybe we didn't, after the Rutgers game. This dude's on pace to have a chance to break Luther Head's record for the most threes in a single season if this team were to advance through the Big Ten tournament and NCAA tournament. He would need postseason play, but
sure,
he's in the conversation for having the one of the most prolific three-point shooting seasons in Illinois history. Now, it's still early on, but the pace he's on right now, the confidence that he has, you know that he's got a quick trigger, you know that he can shoot him from way beyond the arc, and he's a microwave. Like,
yep,
the game can turn in an instant, whether you're up one and all of a sudden you're up eight thanks to him, or you're down, and you need a run and he rattles off a couple. I mean, he had three before you could even really blink last night.
I agree. Isn't that crazy? Illinois shot 44% from the three-point line, 44% from the field and 44% from the three-point line. If they do that, not many teams are going to beat them. Because the reason is Kofi. And what I mean is maybe not the sole reason that we're hitting shots like we are, but that's a big reason. And teams are going to come out and try to stop Kofi. That's exactly what I would do as a coach. I would not come out and say, all right, let's guard the perimeter. If Kofi gets 35, whatever. We'll deal with that. We just got to make sure they don't knock down threes. Although maybe that is the way to guard Illinois. I don't know. The point is, if teams are sagging in on Kofi or dropping in on Kofi as soon as he gets the ball, somebody's going to be open. He's doing a better job of doing that, of finding guys. Illinois is doing a great job of making the extra pass. We call it the hockey pass because in hockey, two passes lead to an assist. You get an assist on the other two passes. So, you know, it's one of those situations where if Illinois can knock shots down like this, and it's not going to be there every night, let's be honest, but if they can consistently or close to consistently knock down shots like this, Illinois is going to be hard to beat.
Really hard.
Good luck.
Really hard to beat because they're going to make you pay for putting all that attention on Kofi and where there are very, very few teams who can guard him one-on-one, and you're going to have to make choices on, you know, pulling someone off the perimeter to go help. And if they're knocking down threes like this, and that's been the formula here of late. They hit 11 threes against Notre Dame. They hit 12 against Rutgers. They hit 11 against Iowa. Mm. That is quite the recipe when Perfect. You pair that with Kofi. That's really the ideal thing for a dominating big man to have yep. three-point shooting and firepower on the perimeter. And you haven't even gotten your point guard back.
No.
And Curbelo, and look, I know he struggled, but someone that can break down the defense, can play in the pick and roll, that's what you want around him as well. And for Plummer to be going like he is right now, Granison shooting the three. Trent Frazier still hasn't quite, and I know he shot 3 of 5 last night, but a guy going into last night was below 30% from three on the season. DeMonte, same thing. Those guys can still elevate even further in terms of three-point shooting. Coleman Hawkins hasn't shot the three like he's capable of, so there's even a little bit more room for growth as a three-point shooting team, but that's definitely what you want around Kofi.
When Curbelo is back, and of course there's all this speculation going on about him and different things, and you know the concussions are definitely in the front of my mind with regards to Andre Curbelo and just feeling right, you know, and obviously he's not. When he's back and playing at a high level and playing major minutes, who takes the hit? Who takes the minutes hit? I mean, you look at this team last night. Again, we mentioned it. Hawkins, 24. Coburn's not obviously going to take the hit at 30. You got Plummer at 33. Williams, DeMonte at 30. Trent Frazier, 37. He doesn't need to maybe play that many, and that would help a little bit having Curbelo out there. And then Grandison, 30. And I want Grandison out there for a lot of that game. I mean, how do you divvy that up? That's a good problem to have, I guess.
Yeah, it certainly is. Maybe you wouldn't play Trent, if, you know, 37. Although, agreed.
There's a few minutes off each one of those.
Most likely. I think that's probably the way you go about it. I don't know that DeMonte in the past has probably played in that 20 to 25 minutes per game, so he's certainly one that you might shave a few off there. But it'd be an interesting choice to decide whether or not to keep Plummer in the starting lineup when Curbelo were to come back. He might be the guy that you ultimately put back on the bench. I don't know though. Yeah, good problem to have. I mean, that's the bottom line ultimately. And certainly just a guy that can break down a defense quick off the dribble. But he has to be feeling right. And we don't know exactly when that ultimately is. The good sign is I saw that Adam Fletcher posted a video of Curbelo working out.
Sweet.
And said something to the extent of like working his way back.
Awesome.
So that's
you, babe.
Something.
Working your way back to you. Sorry, that was stupid. Good. That was my bad. Well, yeah, and you know, you think about like Coleman Hawkins, you think about a kid like that who last night has 7 rebounds, 5 assists, and a steal, by the way. Now, he fouls out, 7 points, plays 24 minutes, but, you know, he's a guy, if you look at it, the last two games they've said, hey, here's Ron Harper Jr., go do some damage with him. Here's Keegan Murray, nation's leading scorer. Go do something with him. Now, granted, he got into some foul trouble in both those, you know. Or no, he didn't get in any foul trouble in the Rutgers game. It was the Notre Dame game. The point being is that you could easily say, well, you sit Hawkins, maybe you go with these other guys. But there's going to be games where Hawkins is needed for those fours that are out there that can stretch the court, and he's the perfect remedy for that.
Yeah, he is. When you look at Keegan Murray being 6'8", 230, And again, DeMonte giving up a lot of height, did a very, very good job. But I think Hawkins, you saw the highs and lows from him last night. He had the three turnovers, made some decisions that you wish that he would, you know, have cleaned up a little bit. But
he had some ticky-tack calls against him.
When he fouled out, his last foul was an awful call. They gave Keegan Murray a couple of calls down the stretch, for sure.
I try not to go there, but last night I was even saying, okay. And it was that little short dude with the white hair.
Yep.
Usually the tall guy is the inept one.
Cartenson, the baldy. Yeah.
But that little short guy, man, he had it out for us.
He certainly did. I wanted to make sure that you remember what it was like to play on the road in the Big Ten with a crowd, you know, fully in force. But
I think he finally called a foul on Iowa when they knocked one of our guys down. And it was like, crap, I got to call that.
Trent got hacked a couple of times, especially he had a steal and went all the way to the rim. You're like, where's the foul on that one? But
I swear I try to stay away from officiating.
I agree.
Those guys try to do their best. I know nobody out there is saying, okay, I want Iowa to win this game. Even though as an Illinois fan, you're like, well, that guy hates us. Tom Rucker back in the day. But the point is, I mean, I don't know for certain, but I'm pretty positive these guys are neutral and they're not trying. But, man, there are games. They just have bad games sometimes, and I think that dude had a bad game.
I think that was the case for sure.
Andre Curbelo, real quick before we take a break and wrap up this hour, someone asked him at the end of the post game about Curbelo, not about his health, not about any of that, just what he's like and how he's helping this team right now in more of a role, obviously, on the bench. Here's Brad Underwood.
Unbelievable teammate. He's an unbelievable. He's got unbelievable savvy. He's got unbelievable smarts. You know, he's in my ear. He's in players' ears. He's, you know, telling them what he sees. They love hearing that. Our team loves hearing that because they know he's been on the court and they know what he sees and what's happening. So his contribution. You know, we tell everybody you got to be a star in your role, and right now his role's not quite on the court yet, but he was a star in his role in helping us win tonight.
There you go. That is Brad Underwood about Andre Curbelo. That's good to hear. That's good to hear that Curbelo is still in. I mean, he's got more energy than anybody I've ever seen in my life, so I'm sure he is a great cheerleader on that side and helping those guys and being able to kind of notice what things go on, and I'm sure he can tell Trent Frazier and some of these guys, hey, this is what's happening in case you're not seeing it. Which is pretty cool.
It's just good to see him involved in the game.
Yes.
He's certainly in good spirits. He's trying to do whatever he can right now. And that's at least something for him. So, again, you're hoping that he's in a situation where he can be back on the court and doing what he loves to do. But it's good that, you know, he's around this team and still a part of what they're doing.
Next hour at 5:30, Trevor Valise is going to join you, and you guys are going to, I think, talk more Illinois basketball. You do what you want, but I think, you know, love to get Trevor's thoughts on this
team.
You want
more golf talk?
Well, I know between you and Trevor, there's going to be no golf talk.
They don't want to hear us talk
golf
because
I'm promising.
We have nothing, nothing to provide.
I mean, the three of us don't even play anymore, but at least I had played in my life. You hardly, Trevor never. So I'm pretty positive there's not going to be any golf talk. But when we come back, Iota Sumo started last night for the first time for the Bulls. And we have some sound bites from Io, three sound bites, in fact, him talking about getting his first start with the Bulls. But what a game and what a start to an NBA career. For Iota Sumo, I'll have Derek, bring up some stats on Io that we can talk about when we come back. And then, of course, more Illinois chatter at the bottom of next hour. We are back to do all of that. It is The Drive.
Have you heard about Country Squire Cleaners Wash and Dry Club? Every week, Country Squire will come to your home in Champaign, Urbana, Savoy, or Mohammed and pick up your laundry. Then, within 3 days, they'll deliver all your clean and folded laundry back to your home. $25 a week for 25 pounds. Join the Wash and Dry Club and save time and money. Call 217-356-9422 for more information or visit them online, CountrySquireCleaners.com.
The holidays are fast approaching and supply chain issues are making everyone shopping a lot harder. Don't wait till the last minute and get stuck in the cold. Get the Game Day Spirit, where there's something for every Illini fan on your list. They've got the top brands like Nike, Columbia, Champion, and more. Shop local and find the best selection of Illini apparel, home decor, and unique gift items. Can't decide? Grab a Game Day gift card and let them pick out the perfect gift. Find them at Neil and Kirby in Champaign, 6th and Green in Campus Town. Game Day Spirit, where Illini fans shop. Long's Garage in Urbana is the oldest auto repair facility in the area. In fact, they've been in business 80 years. That spanned 20 presidential elections. The population of Champaign-Urbana 80 years ago was around 23,000. Now it's over 210,000, and Long's is still proudly serving all of them. There aren't many places that can survive and thrive through 80 years of outstanding service, so give Long's a shot at 503 East Main Street in Urbana or online at longsautomotiverepair.com.
The hottest deals and best service in appliances is bar none at Dick Van Dyke Appliance World. This winter, stop by the new renovated showroom on North Neal and check out me, Jay Layman, on the big wall and see if you can say, wow. Dennis has a great deal on top-rated front-load laundry pairs from Electrolux. Get them while on sale and in stock with a free 10-year protection plan. Visit them at appliance-world.com or at the corner of Neal by Interstate 74.
You're listening to WSJK ESPN 90.